Welcome to the podcast of Grace and Peace Church. These are the teachings from our Sunday gatherings. We are supported by listeners like you who find value in the mission of discipleship. If you'd like to give financially, check out our website, our Instagram, or our Facebook for the giving tab. And thank you for partnering with us in keeping the mission alive. Grace and peace to you. Any Jenga fans in here? Yes. I know, because Paul makes these. Did we get this set from you, you think? Yeah, see, we got it from him. Paul makes Monopoly sets, all kinds of games, like tons of games. And so we get hooked up with these amazing games from him. And so that's my illustration for today. So I might have to have somebody pull a Jenga block here eventually. We'll see. But if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, break out the bulletin. I would put the passage that we're going to be preaching on in there. And we're going to be in John chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters because it has John 10:10 woven in there. Jesus says, I've come to give life and life to the full. I hope that you experience that as a result of our time here. We have Easter coming up. That's one of the things I forgot to announce. But what we're doing in Lent is we're leading towards Easter. We're preaching towards it. We're preparing our hearts, our souls, our minds as a community to celebrate this Easter celebration of Jesus, the resurrection. And so that's what we're preaching on. That's what we're moving towards. That's what this Lent guide takes us through. And for some reason, I don't know, this word cultivating came to me for some reason this week, and it kept coming at me. As we talk about abide with us, I know that's kind of a weird thing to say. It sounds kind of like abide with us. And it's more of abide with us as a community journeying towards God. And so that's what the title's all about. But Lent is a season of cultivating the garden of our lives. It's cultivating our hearts, our soul, beginning to draw closer to Jesus. And I'm sorry that we ran out of books. I don't know why that came to me. But it's this journey of laying things down. So some of you have given things up for Lent. Maybe you've surrendered something and you're saying, I'm giving that up. And you now have taken on certain things. So we're studying certain things. We're praying and journeying through this and drawing closer to Jesus because of it. And so let me read John chapter 10, 14 to 18. Would anybody like to read? Is there any readers that like reading? Yeah, go for it. It'll be on the screen and you just go ahead and read it. Can you see it from there?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for reading. I like to do that randomly, just incorporate the audience. Let's get in on it. I'll be honest, I don't like this passage, and I don't like this analogy, okay? Right up front. I don't like the sheep analogy, okay? Some of you are familiar with this, and some of you know what I'm talking about, and you're like, the sheep. He called us sheep. That's an insult in our culture, right? When you talk about sheep, you're such a sheep, you follow everything that's going on, don't be like everybody else, our culture tells us to be individualistic, do your thing, don't do things because other people are doing it, don't follow the crowd. So I don't like it. I have to reframe my mind when it comes to this idea of sheep. So I hope that by me being honest about how I feel about it, you can relate in some way, because maybe you have that hang up as well. And as we talk about this, because we're just going to talk about sheep and shepherds this entire morning, okay, for the next 20 minutes, whatever we have, 25 minutes, I hope that we can, like, reframe this idea of sheep and us being sheep, okay? If that's an insult term to you, like, I hope we can shift it, change our mindset about it, okay? Because this visual of what Jesus does in being the shepherd and us being the sheep is powerful, and it's so life-giving, because that's what he says right a few verses before that, which we don't get to read, which I can reference. But he talks about being life-giving, that there's a thief, there's a wolf that's out to destroy, seek, destroy, rob us from true life. And he says, I've come to give full life. And this is how he describes himself. He says, I am what? The shepherd. The good shepherd, not just any shepherd, not just a shepherd who's like checked into the job and kind of doing his thing, but the good shepherd, the one that cares about his sheep. So that visual 2,000 years ago would have had great impact. People would have understood it on different layers that we don't understand because we're not farmers, we're not sheep herders, we don't understand what that's like. We do to a degree, but I'm going to hopefully give it some background and some justice to it. So, I heard this great analogy this week as we talk about Lent, as we talk about what Jesus is doing here in labeling himself as the good shepherd, as this idea of following Jesus being a bit of a trust fall, right? So when I talk about terms like a shepherd, when we read that in scripture, that there has to be a bit of trust that says, maybe I don't quite understand the reference 2,000 years ago and I can't totally relate. But there's a trust fall that happens. Have you ever done a trust fall? Like a true trust fall? Like where you stand up on this chair, you know, and you got like six people all circled around with their arms out and you got to legit close your eyes and just fall back. I turn and like step back and I just try and weasel out of that full trust, right? And I used to do when I did youth ministry back in the day, because this is a great illustration. But like that idea of truly trusting, like leaning back on your heels and falling back into what God is calling us into, there's a sense of chaos to it, right? A sense of like, oh, I got to give up my control, my understandings, my mind of how I think about things, how I perceive things, and I have to just trust and have to really lean back into it. And that's what we're doing during Lent, and that's what Jesus is doing as he talks about being the good shepherd. It's this like trust fall. Trust me that I'm the one that can shepherd you. Trust me that I can be the one that can guide you. Trust me that like ultimately my teaching will transform your life from the inside out, and you'll begin to get, experience something fresh and new about how to live this life. And so this first line of I am the good shepherd, it requires a sense of trust to say, yeah, I'm going to trust that you are the good shepherd, first of all, which we're going to unpack a bit. But all throughout Jesus' teaching, he uses different analogies, metaphors about the kingdom of heaven and what it looks like to follow Jesus, to follow God. This is one of those moments where he says an I am statement. It's not a metaphor. It is a metaphor in a way, right? But it's helping us understand it. But he says, this is what I am. I am the good shepherd. I'm not kind of like a good shepherd in some aspects, but not in others. He's like, I am the good shepherd. This defines who I am. And so we got to talk about sheep, and then we'll talk about shepherd here in a second. So sheep, they do have this herd mentality, right? That both helps keep them safe because they all stick together. They don't drift off unless one runs astray. But this herd mentality is also what can cause them to run off a cliff, which where then you get the analogies where you're like sheep just, they follow each other right off a cliff. And so if one goes, they're just following the one in front of them and they can end up doing that. So it's a reality. But what's beautiful about sheep is that they have a complete, honest trust with their shepherd. And so to help us see this and help us understand, like, if Jesus truly is our good shepherd, there's some questions we have to ask of, like, do we truly, truly trust him in that? And there's a list of things that we can do that say, I trust in other things. And some of us would say maybe financially, we just trust in finances. because finances are a very tangible way, if I can use that as an example, to say, this is what provides for me and my family. It's what keeps bread on the table, like clothes on our back, roof over our head. And so it's easy to say, actually, I do need to trust in my finances and my work and those things. But it's not the ultimate thing. And if that's the thing that we trust in to bring happiness, contentment, joy in our lives, we know that that can be fleeting, right? And so my question is, have you ever thought that if you had more money, more of that, you would be happier? This is just a way to like kind of break open that whole idea of what we trust in, okay? Who's willing to just honestly head nod? Yeah, if I had some more, I could probably, life would be a little easier, it'd be happier, right? I don't know if you guys have heard stats on lottery winners. Maybe you have. But 90% of lottery winners would tell us otherwise, okay? According to the National Endowment, I just looked this up, for financial education, says 70% of lottery winners go bankrupt within a few years. So more money didn't solve the problem for 70% of them. To me, that helps us see, and it helps me see, like, more money doesn't necessarily mean we'll be happier, more content. It'll just exaggerate whatever the situation is. So the thing that we, many of us would trust in and say that we need to be content, happy, whatever, is actually not something that delivers. And so when Jesus talks about I am the good shepherd, there has to be this like real clear trust that takes place where we start to sort out what are some of the other things that we trust in? And I use money because it's a big one, but maybe there's other things. There's other things that you trust in that you think you have to have in order to be successful, content in life. And it goes on, it goes from I am the good shepherd to I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They recognize the voice. And so let's dig into this analogy of sheep a little bit further to hopefully reframe it, right? But sheep are emotional creatures who attach to their caregiver. They recognize a stranger's voice and will run away from a stranger's voice, but will recognize their shepherd's voice and go straight to the shepherd when the shepherd speaks out when they lack direction. There's a loyalty and a friendship that sheep will have to their shepherd that there's just a bond that starts to happen where they recognize that the shepherd is there to guide them into green pastures, to thriving, to good life as a sheep. And so one of the interesting things is, as I started researching this, is that shepherds back in the day would mix their flock together, that they would sometimes journey together, and sheep of a certain shepherd would recognize that when they're breaking apart and doing like going in different direction, the sheep would recognize that shepherd's voice and all divide out of that flock. And I thought that was interesting to hear that like there's such a distinct voice that they listen to. And I think that that analogy can really apply to our lives and our relationship with God and with Jesus and going, do I really recognize Jesus' voice in my life as something that is good, that's going to lead me to green pastures? Sheep are vulnerable to predators. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth. What they do well is they journey together. They move as a flock. Is it a flock of sheep? We good? Herd, a herd of sheep. That sounds about right. Flock. I like flock. I like whatever you want. Okay. That works for me. But they stay together to stay safe. It's power in numbers. There's something about that. This is why Jesus emphasized that his sheep know him and stay together in that zone because they recognize that they are part of that circle of thriving, I would say. So Christ acts as this character of a shepherd to his sheep. A shepherd is known to lay down his life for his sheep, to protect his sheep. And what Jesus is doing there is saying, I will do everything I can that if a predator comes in, if something wants to come in and hurt the sheep, I will be there to protect them. That's reassuring, knowing that the challenges that we face, the difficulties that we face, that our shepherd, that Jesus, is there to protect us. We may not sense that. We may go, you know what? Well, if I just had more money, if I had more things, I'd be safer and more protected. And Jesus is like, no, just listen to my voice. I will guide you. I will protect you. And so there's something woven into that of the way that Jesus lives as the shepherd in our lives will begin to bring about flourishing. So when we see people claiming that they are caring for the sheep in ways that are counter to a sheep being loved, cared for, having compassion towards the sheep, that is not a shepherd. And we have to have discernment. We have to have the ability to see when a shepherd is coming in or something else is coming in, as I started out, and trying to win that trust in a way that can't deliver. Because there's all kinds of things that we trust and we go, that voice sounds pretty good. It's pretty close to what Jesus is, but not quite. And we have to have discernment to be able to see that. And so to kind of parse that out, I threw a list in your notes. You can see it is what kind of care from the shepherd do you long for in your life? Like what kind of care, what kind of ways do you feel that you're maybe filling that void with a voice that is not the true shepherd, that is not the good shepherd who is Christ? And so I listed them out as, again, I just mentioned riches, wealth, material things that we think bring joy. For some of us, maybe it's prestige, honor, recognition. Maybe it's recognition at work. For some of us, it's wisdom, that maybe if I get more wisdom, I've talked about this before, that then I'll understand how to live this life the best possible way, which wisdom's great. A lot of these things are great things, but when out of context or elevated too high, they're to our detriment, right? Acceptance from others, belonging, love, security. The good shepherd provides all of these things. That's the analogy, again, the I am factual statement that's not just meant to be a visual of it, but meant to be a fact of like, he is our shepherd. He cares deeply for us, loves us. And so the good shepherd, as he mentions, lays down his life for his sheep. That like when one goes astray, leaves the 99 and goes and finds that one, right? That the visual that we get here is a shepherd deeply cares for his sheep. Jesus declares that in laying down his life, he's laying that example for what it looks like to have that kind of like that humble, self-sacrificial kind of love for the people around us. And what we see is that in Old Testament, you saw there's sacrifice of lamb, of sheep. And now Jesus comes in and says, I'm going to be the one that protects the sheep. I'm going to be the one that lays down my life so the sheep don't have to do that. And that's such a beautiful illustration for me, is like when we think of like a good shepherd that says, you know what, like I'm going to do this. And he says, I'm going to lay down my life because this is the will of God. And then he says, but I lay it down on my own accord. I do it on my own will because of this, because of how much I love the sheep. And that's how deep that relationship is. There's such compassion for us as the sheep. God left that role of power and moved into this role of submission. And I think that's such a beautiful example of the invitation that we have in Jesus to follow and live that way. And so how does this visual of a shepherd begin to take root in our lives? How does it begin to be something that we actually own and begin to live into? Many of us, we've faced challenges, as I mentioned. There's constantly demands that are put on us. And I think in a culture where we're pulled in a lot of directions, I think I've mentioned this before, that like you can take out your phone right now and see all of the world's problems in a moment. Right? Even if you pulled out social media, you'd begin to see everybody's opinion about how to solve the world's problems and instantly get wrapped into those. We didn't have that even 50, 100 years ago. We didn't have that. And now we're flooded with that, along with being parents, being family members, being friends, coworkers with people that are in relationships where it can be demanding. We have jobs that are demanding. And all these things flooded us and can get to this place where we can feel overwhelmed, where we can feel like a lot of this stuff is just too much. And it's not, I don't want to, I guess, it's hard when we talk about like when we prayed for Bailey earlier, like some of the challenges that people face around the world are completely different. So I don't want to diminish the challenges that we face here, but also recognize that there are challenges that are different. They're not worse. There may, maybe some of them are definitely worse, but they're just different. And so the challenges that we face have to be dealt with in a way that is healthy. And I think when we talk about beginning to learn how to root in what it means to love Jesus, I think we have to be honest that we as sheep, again, I told you I don't like that analogy, but we as sheep will get weary, that we'll get tired, right? That sheep will lose their way at times. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to go after that one that has lost its way, that's weary, that's tired, that somehow forgot where the flock is or the herd or whatever we're going to call it, okay? And he goes after them because he loves them. And I think when we have that humility to go, yes, I am a sheep. Yes, I get tired. And yes, sometimes I'm nearsighted. I miss out on what's going on because I'm so overwhelmed with what's going on in my life currently and my situation and whatever we find ourselves in, that we miss the fact that there's a shepherd that cares for us. And so it requires, I think the first part is that humility. And I use this Jenga set because I think sometimes in our, whatever, our the haze that we find ourselves in, we make life more difficult than it is, right? And as you play Jenga, you guys know this, that as you begin to start pulling blocks out and lifting them up to the top, it gets more and more difficult. This is pretty stable right now, like if I push down on this. Like it's pretty solid, like the design of it works. But as we start pulling blocks out and we start pushing them to the top, like maybe, I don't know if I can do it or not. Okay, so as we start to lift those blocks up to the top, it starts to destabilize what's going on, right? And I think sometimes in life we add extra blocks on top and we make it even more complicated than it needs to be. And what I see in this beautiful picture of Jesus being the good shepherd is him saying, stop pulling the Jenga blocks out. Like, I get that that's the game, like, if you're playing that game, but stop pulling them out and stop adding extra blocks. For some of us, maybe it's social media. Like, I know that's a hard one for me sometimes, is that that creates extra blocks, extra stress that I didn't need during the week. And yet I still go back to it thinking that's going to give me some kind of, like, entertainment satisfaction in, like, scrolling on my phone. I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to like hit on it too on, but like financially, like sometimes we think that like if I just add more here, that this will somehow make it better. But all it does is destabilize our life. All it does is begin to make this tower that we're just waiting at any moment. It's going to crash down. You know that feeling where it's like, oh, it's going to crash. And it's like you almost want to flinch. I think that's what we do to our lives sometimes. And I think what Jesus does here, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I care for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm compassionate towards you. If you're running astray, I'm coming after you. Not because I'm hounding you, because I love you and I want to bring you back in to where safety is, where you're loved and cared for. And I just hope that this analogy, this visual that Jesus does, this statement that he gives of I am the good shepherd begins to shift and we go, yes, I am a sheep. I'm going to scratch the cultural analogy. I'm going to move away from that and know that I am the sheep, that I have a shepherd that is good, that deeply cares for me and loves us. And so my encouragement would just be stop stacking, stop adding blocks, stop pulling blocks, and begin to see that sometimes we're just tired because we've been doing all of that, and we need to just rest in the fact that God is good. And here's the second passage that we're given today. In Psalm 23, and maybe you're familiar with this, but it starts out with, the Lord is my, what? Shepherd. This psalm has been so good in my life in times where I've been challenged and felt like my Jenga tower is going to fall over. and it's helped me really gain kind of clarity. And so I want to use this, and we're going to close with this right now. The very first line, the Lord is my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. We know that from now John 10, and I lack nothing. I don't need to add blocks to this game. That would be a weird thing if you showed up with extra blocks, right? Be like, no, it has this many blocks. We're not adding to it. And I think that the more we own it, that becomes like true to our heart and our mind and our soul. And we go, I truly lack nothing. That Jesus is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. That will bring contentment. But it goes on. And he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So again, this visual of sheep being led into green pastures where they can eat, where they can thrive, leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep 2,000 years ago, and maybe it's probably still true, led near raging waters, will get pushed in and fall in and taken away. The visual we see here from David, who was a shepherd, right? Again, this visual just continues to build in the Old Testament. He leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul. Like, that's the visual we get. Quiet waters. He guides me along right paths, pointing out that there are wrong paths to take that take us astray, or maybe to a cliff, for his name's sake, because he'll get the glory in the process of that, of us thriving. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So a shepherd always have a staff that would guide the sheep, right? That's the visual. And you can use the Bible as that visual of like him guiding us, leading us. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I love that visual. And my cup's not empty. It's not half empty, half full kind of thing. It overflows. Like, that's how much this relationship with the Good Shepherd impacts our lives. And it says, you anoint my head with oil, being a healing part of what Jesus does and what God does. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. A mentor that I had early on in my studies when I was doing my master's was this guy, Larry Warner. He says this. He says, there is no promise here of a carefree life, a life without valleys of the shadow of death, pain, or evil. What is promised is caring presence, a personal being with and goodness and unfailing love that will pursue you at every step. And finally, there's a promise of comfort, restoration, rest, and abundant blessing. It's not denying that the world's chaotic, that we sometimes make our own world chaotic, our own lives chaotic. It's not denying the fact that like sometimes we get on the wrong path or whatever. This is a very honest psalm. But it says, but I know where to go back to. I know the shepherd. And that's why Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And that would be my encouragement, is begin to hear the voice of the good shepherd. Begin to hear how good that can be, how life-giving it can be, that there's comfort, restoration, rest, and abundant blessing in it. That's what God begins to do in this analogy of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And so my question that Larry also would ask is, he uses this reference from Julian of Norwich and asks, Julian of Norwich was in a vision asked by God, am I enough for you? And that's what I want to close with, is Jesus enough for us? I would encourage you this week, spend some time pondering this question. Is Jesus enough for me? Solely Jesus, not how successful I am in my job, how successful I am in my family, my relationships, my bank account, whatever it is that we somehow fill, the Jenga blocks that we keep adding. Is Jesus enough? Or are we adding blocks? And be really honest with it. And if like your answer is like, I don't know, or it's this, it's whatever that fill in your blank is, be okay that the good shepherd is like, okay, I want to help you with that. Like, God's not angry at you for that. He's not going to be like, you trust something else? Are you kidding me? You know, like, that's not the voice of God. That would be another voice that is evil, that is not out for your good. Sit with it. Reflect on it. We need this kind of formation to happen in our lives where we begin to see that the shepherd is good. And I just want to close with this idea that that formation, this idea of a good shepherd, doesn't take root until we recognize that there has to be two parts of our formation. There has to be a formation that happens that comes from discipleship, knowledge, right? Reading, learning, asking these questions. But there also has to be an encounter where we just sit with Jesus, where we have time, where we're quiet, and we allow him to speak. And sadly, like, my critique is that I think sometimes we're either one or the other. That's a lot of times, like, if you look at churches, that's how they're broke down, is like they're either smaller and very discipleship driven and like we're going to be very ritualistic about growing in discipleship, or generally they're bigger and the encounter with Jesus comes from like big worship, very emotional, like entertaining, that kind of thing. That happens when we're just focused on the encounter with God. The encounter with God has to happen. We need to have that. But if we don't have that balanced out with discipleship, where we're beginning to learn the shepherd's voice, we're imbalanced and we don't really grow and we don't really like dig into the faith that Jesus really desires for us. And so that just be my prayer, is that we begin to really look at like formation, being formed. That's discipleship, Bible study, accountability, those kind of heavy things that we're like, do I really want to do that? You know, like the heavy things. I'd rather just sit and worship. I would love to just sit and worship and just sing and just praise God all the time. But if I don't have that balance, if I don't have that formation mixed with encounter, we can be imbalanced. And I think that that's what our shepherd longs for us as we like think practically, how do we begin to live into that? And so that's Lent. That's the season of like doing the heavy lifting of discipleship, of surrendering things. Many of you, like we start out, you've given up things for Lent. You're doing something that's difficult. You're fasting from something. Or you've added something in, like you're saying, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes every day. And you're like, that is tough. Like, I'm not used to this routine. And you're like adding in something that just, it's not normal yet. And I say yet because it's part of our formation. And so my encouragement is just like, say, keep going. I know that Lent can be a challenge, that even discipleship, even beyond Easter, it can be a challenge, but it's good that the shepherd cares for us deeply and longs to see us really grow and thrive. And so hopefully this visual, this idea of sheep is new, is being reshaped, reformed for us in the like Christian sense, the faith sense. And that'll just be my courage this week, is just to live into that. I threw some questions in the digital bulletin for you to reflect on further. But as we lay these things down, my question would be like, what do you sense you want to carry into your routine as you move forward, even beyond Lent? Like, what maybe do you want to even continue to add in? Maybe you haven't added anything in yet and you want to. It's never too late. God does not care about our calendar. He cares more about our soul and our lives. So what do you want to begin to like live into? What do you sense God, as the shepherd, wants to shepherd you in? What do you sense that he wants to lead you into? And maybe it's some kind of discipline, or maybe it's just sitting and worshiping him during the week and just being silent for a while and just putting the phone down, putting the work down, and just saying, I want to be with God and go for a walk, whatever it is. Prince of Peace Abbey over here in Oceanside is a great place to go walk. There's the Stations of the Cross. I would encourage you to go check that out. If you need something to like physically move and go and get away from your routine, the Stations of the Cross, it's like little, like, I don't know what you call them, but like little mini huts that are set up along this trail, and you can go walk it and just read. There's a little description of Jesus' journey to the cross. And it's like, it's great to do during this time of year as we move towards Easter, and just begin to listen, begin to see what the shepherd tells you. And my prayer would be that you begin to hear his voice and hear how good the shepherd is, that he's there to feed your soul and begin to really make life as it was designed to be. So let me pray. Lord, so thankful for what you do in our lives. Help us to be humble enough to recognize that we are sheep who often go astray, who get distracted during the week, who put our trust in things that maybe we don't need to, but remind us that at our core, we just long to hear your voice, and we long to follow you because we know that you lead us to quiet waters, to places of refreshment, places where our soul is being filled. We recognize that, as David said, that our cup overflows when we are with you. And so we long for that. We pray that during this season of Lent, as we give things up and there's challenges and difficulties, that you're there to carry us through those things and really help us thrive and really see that they're good and that these disciplines shape us in healthy ways to be more like you, Jesus. So work through us, and as we leave this place and go into this week, give us opportunities to love others and use our lives as a way to bless others in a very kingdom kind of way, Lord. So may your Holy Spirit go with us. In your name, amen.